From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and the folks who have the detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, and web addresses. So please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in the dragon and the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on near the end of the show. As always, we're going to start off with announcements, and coming to a close is the comment period for the draft Yosemite Valley plan. You have until July 7th, that's just about a week from now, to contact the Yosemite Valley folks in Yosemite National Park about the draft Yosemite Valley plan. The address for comments is Superintendent Dave Mihalik, Draft Yosemite Valley Plan, Post Office Box 577, Yosemite National Park, California 95389. Once again, that's Superintendent Dave Mihalik, Draft Yosemite Valley Plan, Post Office Box 577, Yosemite National Park, California 95389. You can send a fax to 209-372-0456. Once again, that fax number 209-372-0456. Or email to yose_planning@nps.gov. That's yose_planning@nps.gov. And citizens' comments on the Roadless Area Protection Environmental Impact Statement are urgently needed before that July 17th deadline, because the Forest Service puts more weight on individual and unique comments rather than postcards or other mass-produced messages. We're trying to generate as many handwritten or typed individual letters as possible. Once again, your comments need to be received by July 17th at, here's the address, USDA Forest Service CAET, Attention Roadless Area Conservation Proposed Rule, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah 84122. That address again, USDA Forest Service CAET, Attention Roadless Area Conservation Proposed Rule, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah 84122. Or you could send a fax to 877-703-2494. That fax again, 877-703-2494. And of course, email to roadlessdeis, that's roadlessdeis@fs.fed.us. All right, what's happening in the Chippewa National Forest of Minnesota? Well, 951 acres of clear-cutting in the Winnie North Vegetation Management Project. Sounds like they're going to manage that vegetation right into the ground. 249 acres of commercial thinning, that's where they take out the trees. 569 acres of prescribed burning, that's where they burn everything that's left. 35 acres of seed trees cutting, well, that means they cut everything except about 3 trees per acre. And 85 acres of shelterwood cutting, well, that's when they take all except 2 trees per acre. Sounds like a pretty bad deal in the Winnie North Vegetation Management Project of the Chippewa National Forest. If you'd like to comment on the environmental assessment for this process, you can do so until July 5th. Write to Frederick Pick, P-I-C-K, District Ranger, HC3, Box 95, Black Duck, Minnesota, and the zip 56630. Once again, that address, Frederick Pick, District Ranger, HC3, Box 95, Black Duck, Minnesota, 56630. And the Forest Service has released a disastrous ecosystem management plan that threatens all of the national forests in eastern Oregon and Washington, Idaho, and western Montana. The Supplemental Draft Environmental Impact Statement, or SDEIS, for the Interior Columbia Basin Ecosystem Management Project, that's a mouthful, isn't it, is a recipe for increased agency discretion, which of course means more cutting, mining, and whatever else they do out there to make money, a massive forest health logging program, and no action to address critical problems such as off-road vehicles, grazing, and invasive species. You have until July 6th to comment on these Interior Columbia Basin Ecosystem Management Project. If you'd like to make your comments, please send them to SDEIS, P.O. Box 420, Boise, Idaho, 83701. Once again, that address for your comments, please have them sent by July 6th to SDEIS, P.O. Box 420, Boise, Idaho, 83701. If you'd like more information, contact George Sexton at the American Lands Watershed Coordinator. His number, 541-349-9660. That's 541-349-9660. Going to the Democratic National Convention in Los Angeles, you might want to train for what you're going to be doing there. And the Ruckus Society will train you at their Democracy Action Camp July 13th through the 19th in Los Angeles, California. And let me tell you, these Ruckus Society trainings are the very best available for nonviolent civil disobedience activists and their coordinators. How would you apply for this training? Well, you have to go online to the Ruckus Society website, www.ruckus.org. That's www.ruckus.org. And tune in to the radio show Contesting Logging on National Forests. The nationally syndicated radio program Making Contact will make the case against logging on our national forests this week. The program will feature speakers from the John Muir Project, the National Forest Protection Alliance, and the Religious Campaign for Forest Conservation, American Lands, and others. To find out when and where the show is airing in your area, contact www.radioproject.org. That's www.radioproject.org, and click on Broadcast Schedule. You can download the program directly from that website. Once again, as Uncle Dennis has mentioned before, this is a vitally important time for the Sierra Nevada. After years of delay, the Forest Service has released 8 alternative management plans for the region. As part of a process commonly known as the framework, the stakes are high. Will the final choice protect old trees? Will it spare wild places from development? Will it buffer streams and rivers from disruptive activities? Probably not, unless you support Alternative 5. Environmentalists helped develop the management plan known as Alternative 5. It would give high levels of protection to water, ancient forests, and wildlife, restrict logging to small trees in areas where forest thinning would reduce fire risk, and encourage prescribed burning to bring natural fire back into the forest ecosystem. If you can't attend one of the hearings I'm going to tell you about in a moment, here is the address to write. USDA Forest Service, CAET, that's familiar, isn't it? Sierra Nevada Framework Project, P.O. Box 7669, Missoula, Montana, 59807. Once again, the address, USDA Forest Service, CAET, Sierra Nevada Framework Project, P.O. Box 7669, Missoula, Montana, 59807. And here are some upcoming hearings. July 10th in Porterville, California, from 3 to 9:30 p.m., and that's taking place at the Veterans Building in Alturas, California, on July 12th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the USDA Conference Room. In Lake Isabella, California, on July 13th from 5 to 9:30 p.m. at the Kern River Veterans Hall and Senior Center. And in Bishop, California, on July 17th at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. And there are other hearings later on in July, which Uncle Dennis will let you know about later on in July. Hello, all concerned about the planet. I think that's pretty much everyone who listens to Earth First Radio, so listen up. After a three-hour court hearing, Judge Kopp, who is hearing the Headwaters case brought by Epic against Maxam, Pacific Lumber, and CDF, determined the case needs more time, so he put off a ruling until July 7th. Maxam and Pacific Lumber have agreed not to log THP 520, the hole in the Headwaters, until the judge reaches a decision. That's what they said in court, at least. And if you believe that, I have a couple of bridges for you. The judge, visiting from San Francisco, seemed to understand what Epic was saying about the lack of public input in the plan. Minor amendment versus a major one, and wants to read up and learn more. Either that or try and collect some more influence money. So the next date is July 7th. No time or courtroom was given, but at that, I believe, will be in Eureka, California. Action training camp is going on. Contact North Coast Earth First. Trainings will be held in many areas, and there will be actions at non-520 areas being planned. Please come as self-sufficient as possible. That means all the camping gear you could possibly have, bulk food if you have it, at no dogs, no drugs, no drums, and bring a good attitude if you can. North Coast Earth First, 707-825-6598. That's the address, phone number for figuring out what the address is. I believe it's on the Elk River somewhere, 707-825-6598. And moving to the Midwest, the Ditzler family is in the way of a road that wants to get put in somewhere out there. Rockford, Illinois, that's the place. The land is 4 acres of critical wetlands, and as well as Native American mounds. The family has support from various area tribes like the Ho-Chunk. And Tom Ditzler, that's the man who owns the property, is a blind war veteran whose land is being taken away by the very government he fought for. There is a coalition of neighbors who have already set up tents in the way of the road. This is different than an Earth First encampment in that it is led and supported by the close community of family and friends. If you want more information and you live near Rockford, Illinois, or you want to visit Rockford, Illinois Free State and encampment, probably the best thing to do is to contact Redgate Earth First. And the only way that they can be contacted is by email. So send them an email at friends@enteract.com. That's friends@enteract.com. And from the Sierra Nevada, 11 people were arrested in a demonstration this past Monday against clear-cutting in the Sierra Nevada after activists created 2 human road blockades near the town of Arnold, California, and prevented logging trucks from using a pair of access roads into the area owned by Sierra Pacific Industries. A Calaveras County dispatcher said 10 people were charged with trespassing and resisting arrest by late Monday. One woman was also charged with assaulting a police officer, the dispatcher said. However, witnesses said the demonstration against Sierra Pacific Industries, the state's largest private landowner, got rowdy. Some witnesses were critical of how sheriff's deputies handled the situation. "It's intense up here today," said Tom Patoff, an Arnold resident who attended the demonstration. The demonstration marked the 3rd example in the Sierra this month of what activists call direct action or illegal activity that practitioners think is morally justified to halt what they see as a greater injustice, like clear-cutting. In each case, activists targeted clear-cutting by Sierra Pacific, which owns about 1.5 million acres in the state. Sierra Pacific has disclosed plans to cut 70% or roughly 1 million acres of that land over the next 70 to 80 years. The demonstration was specifically aimed at protesting an ongoing 900-acre clear-cut operation near the town of Arnold, California. Witnesses said Calaveras County Sheriff's deputies were unnecessarily rough on protesters, particularly one woman who had locked herself to 2 other protesters to prevent a gate from being opened. One deputy was literally trying to rip her out of her lockdown device, Patoff said. They hurt her pretty bad. She had to release, but the 2 other girls locked together before they knew what was going on. I suppose that's the sheriff, and it's not too hard to fool them. Another group of protesters chained themselves together across a road into the logging area. Patoff and another witness at the demonstration, Ross Alford, said there was at least 1 scuffle between a timber company employee and protesters. Critics of the company's plans contend clear-cutting fractures wildlife habitat, causes erosion into streams, and increases herbicide loading in the environment. Company officials contend that clear-cutting will be good for the forest in the long run because the timberland has already been logged and only second-rate trees and their offspring remain. Sierra Pacific spokesman Ed Bond did not return phone calls, but an employee who answered the telephone said one of Sierra Pacific's field offices said the demonstration did not affect operations because trucks could roll through other roads that had not been blockaded. Earlier this month, six members of Nevada County environmental group Yuba Nation were arrested or cited in two separate incidents near Sierra Pacific logging operations, and this story by Mike Togger of the Contra Costa Times. And we move to the, I believe this is Burlington, Indiana. All right, Burlington, Indiana. Herald Times staff writer Steve Hinnefeld filed this story. 10-inch-long spikes were found last week, driven into trees in an area of the Morgan Monroe State Forest, which was slated for logging. Department of Natural Resources employees discovered the tree spiking incident while preparing the site for logging, said DNR spokesman Stephen Sellers. A total of 20 spikes were found in 17 trees at the site, he said. Indiana conservation officers are investigating. This is a serious crime, Sellers said. People could get hurt or even killed. The discovery comes at a time when protests against logging on state forests have increased and acts of vandalism in the name of protecting the environment have proliferated. Indiana forest protection groups have historically rejected tree spiking, a tactic associated with the tree wars of the American West. It involves driving heavy spikes into trees in an attempt to damage logging or sawmill equipment. Under an Indiana law adopted in 1992, tree spiking is a Class D felony with a penalty of 6 months to 3 years in prison. It can be a Class C felony with a penalty of 2 to 8 years in prison if it results in injury. The tree spiking incident follows several incidents in which the Earth Liberation Front, or ELF, damaged property that it blamed for destroying the environment. Last fall, someone put sand in the gas tanks and transmissions of machinery and painted ELF on heavy equipment at a timbering site in the Morgan Monroe State Forest. The logger reported the incident after ELF claimed responsibility for an arson fire that damaged a house in Bloomington's Sterling Woods subdivision in January. He estimated the logging losses at $50,000. As a result of the tree spiking, Sellers said the buyer of the Morgan Monroe timber will be given the option of keeping his money and not doing the logging, but the official said that the affected trees will have to be cut down even if no sawmill wants them. No matter how hard the state agency tries to keep records, there is always the chance that 10, 20, or 30 years down the road, that tree could end up in another sale, he said. We could not take a chance that anybody could get hurt or equipment could be damaged. And a communique has been received from the North American Earth Liberation Front press office. The Earth Liberation Front would like to make public that we have placed hundreds of spikes in trees and the timber sales that were about to be cut on Crooked Creek Road in Brown County and Buskirk Road in Monroe County. These spikes have been placed both high and low in the trees to prevent the cutting of those trees. The trees are now worthless at the mill and dangerous to cut down. We ask that this action be widely publicized in order to prevent injury to any timber workers who might be working in the area. It is not our intention to cause harm to anyone. We also hope that this action will discourage companies from buying timber sales in state forests in Indiana. This is a warning to all those who want to turn the beings of the earth into cash. We are committed to protecting every last square inch of our forests that remain. Too much has been lost. Let the corporations beware. The ELF is everywhere. And the foregoing was a communique from the North American Earth Liberation Front press office. Looking for a job? Well, the Rainforest Action Network needs a receptionist, and you'll get $11 an hour plus benefits, and you work from 8:45 to 5:30 p.m. in San Francisco, California. It's a full-time job. Basically, you got to answer phones, open mail, and talk to everybody that goes past the front desk. $11 an hour if you want it. Contact Kikor Didonian, office manager, Rainforest Action Network, 221 Pine Street, Suite 500, San Francisco, California, 94104. That address again, Kikor Didonian, office manager, Rainforest Action Network, 221 Pine Street, Suite 500, San Francisco, California, 94104. Give them a call, 415-398-4404. That's 415-398-4404. And let's move to some habitat news here from Mexico. Entitled Mexico's Mayan Paradise on the Brink of Extinction, we get this news from Monica Baleska, who is a writer for Reuters News Service. From Mexico, La Caja. Its ancient residents, the Mayans, could never have imagined it, but the verdant paradise of Mexico's Lacandon Forest is on the verge of extinction. As little as one-third of this pre-Columbian Eden, home to bubbling springs, monkeys, jaguars, and towering trees supposedly imbued with spiritual powers, is still intact. After decades of crop burning, forest fires, insufficient environmental protection, and a recent invasion by displaced indigenous people, The prognosis for this natural wonder in southern Chiapas state is alarming. 15 years of life. In the last 14 years, the forest area has diminished by 41%, said Alejandro Lopez Portillo, head of the government program that administers resources in the Montes Azules Reserve in the heart of the jungle. That's equivalent to 82,745 acres per year in the Lacandon jungle. The Lacandon region comprises some 1.9 million hectares, of which two-thirds is now pasture land or cultivated for crops. Given this tendency, in 2015, the trees and jungle would disappear, Lopez says, eyeing one of the gaping holes in the dense forest from the windows of a helicopter. During that aerial tour of the region, Martin Gonzalez of the Federal Prosecutor's Environmental Protection Wing, PROFIPA, said deforestation has been a problem for decades, but it has accelerated in the last few years. In 1998 alone, an abnormally strong season of forest fires destroyed some 25,000 hectares. The government in 1978 declared that 600,000 hectares would be a protected zone, giving the land to the Lacandon indigenous group considered to be the purest descendants of the Mayas. The heart of the protected area is known as Montes Azules, or Blue Woodlands, and is an ancient region of virgin forest. Even its abrupt ravines and inaccessible areas have not saved it from settlement by other indigenous groups, however. Montes Azules is home to 26 communities, about 700 families, with an average of 7 members each who invaded the forest illegally, the government report says. Many were fleeing violence between pro-government paramilitary groups and the armed rebel group Zapatista National Liberation Front, or EZLN, which declared war on the government in 1994 to demand improved rights for the Mayan Indians. Others came to escape poverty. PROFIPA estimates that the groups have devastated some 600 hectares, about 1,500 acres, within Montes Azules. What worries us most is that the invasions are not being halted. On the contrary, in the last year they've increased, Lopez says, as smoke rising from agricultural fires obscured the helicopter view of the area. Montes Azules, just 16.16% of Mexico's land, shelters 28% of its mammal species, 32% of its bird species, 14.4% of the fish, and 12% of the reptiles in Mexico. And a biologist says the proposed hunt could threaten Pennsylvania bobcats. Dr. Seth Riley, a National Park Service biologist nationally known as an expert on bobcats, is criticizing the Pennsylvania Game Commission's bobcat management plan that would allow trapping and hunting. The Game Commission voted 5-1 in favor of the plan despite receiving over 6,000 comments opposing it. Bobcats have been protected in the state for more than 30 years. And according to a press release by the Fund for Animals, Dr. Riley says that the proposed hunt is not justified scientifically and is calling for further studies to be completed to ensure the survival of the bobcat species in Pennsylvania. Dr. Riley's report has been distributed to the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, where numerous groups are asking them to support HB 2534, a bill calling for a 3-year moratorium on killing bobcats until more data and public input can be collected. For more information or for a copy of Dr. Riley's 6-page report, contact Diana Norris or Heidi Prescott with the Fund for Animals. Their phone number, 301-585-2591. That's Diana Norris or Heidi Prescott with the Fund for Animals. The phone number again, 301-585-2591. And be sure to ask for a copy of the report by Dr. Seth Riley on bobcats in Pennsylvania. And the Environmental Protection Information Center has filed a federal lawsuit to seek protection for the rare southern torrent salamander under the Endangered Species Act. The suit followed years of illegal delay by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to protect the southern torrent salamander, even though it found in 1996 that the species faced extinction. Ranging from Tillamook County, Oregon to Mendocino County, California, the southern torrent salamander depends on old-growth Douglas fir and redwood forest ecosystems and is very sensitive to activities that degrade water quality in riparian areas. Populations of southern torrent salamanders have declined dramatically due to logging and other land alterations, and in 1995, EPIC and other conservation organizations sought much-needed protection for the species under the Endangered Species Act. by preparing and submitting a formal scientific petition to the Fish and Wildlife Service. Fish and Wildlife Service unlawfully took more than a year to review the petition and then determined that it presented substantial information to show protection may be warranted. With this finding, the Fish and Wildlife Service was required by law to make a final listing decision 1 year from the date that it received our petition. Settlement discussions culminated in an agreement by the Fish and Wildlife Service to publish a list decision by May 31st. We hope the agency will consider the evidence in the record honestly and move to protect the southern torrent salamander. And we'll be back with more news after we take a little musical break.
I'll walk this trail through the Red Rock Canyons, walk this trail where the peregrine falcon flies, walk this trail along the sculpted slick rock. In my heart I will always walk this trail. I'll walk this trail through the grasslands scarred by cattle, and I never will accept a murdered soil. I'll walk this trail until the canyons have recovered, and then I'll celebrate along this trail. I'll walk this trail through the ancient redwood forest, walk this trail in the home of spotted owl, walk this trail in the name of all that's sacred. In my heart I will always walk this trail. I'll walk this trail through the remnants of the forest that have fallen to their death for human greed. I'll walk this trail until the forests have recovered, and then I'll celebrate along this trail. I'll walk this trail along the banks of the rivers, walk this trail to the tune of their cascades, walk this trail with the rhythm of the water. In my heart I will always walk this trail. I'll walk this trail and remember all the rivers enslaved in concrete channels behind dams. I'll walk this trail until the rivers all flow free, and then I'll celebrate along this trail. I'll walk this trail with my sisters and my brothers, walk this trail in harmony with earth, walk this trail to heal our wounded planet. In our hearts we will always walk this trail. We'll walk this trail with our hands joined together and free ourselves from hate, mistrust, and fear. We'll walk this trail to heal our wounded planet, and then we'll celebrate along this trail. In our hearts we'll celebrate along this trail. We will always celebrate along this trail.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.